course, nobody knew exactly what's happening, but the Arizal says we should go for a walk in the fields. Everybody started to go with the Arizal into the fields. And they're going and they're going. And all of a sudden they come to a big pit, a big hole in the ground. And the Ari stopped. And he asked his student to give him the long rope. The Ari took one end of the rope and he held it. And the other end he threw down into the pit and it went way, way down. And then he started to pull it up again. But now they saw there must be something very heavy because the Ari was pulling it with all of his koyach and very slowly he's pulling up something like there's something caught on the end of the rope. And the Ari motioned for his students to come and also take the end of the rope so they should all pull it up. And everybody started pulling the rope. And all of a sudden on the other end, when it came up to the top of the hole, they could not believe their eyes. They saw a very fancy bed covered with silver, gold, and diamonds. And there was a man asleep in the bed wearing fancy schmancy pajamas and a crown on his head, asleep in the bed that was pulled out of the hole. And the Ari went over to this bed and this man in the pajamas asleep and he slapped him on the face.
Wake up!
And he said, wake up! Wake up right now! And the man woke up. Huh? Where am I? What is this? My name is Rabbi Yitzchak Luria. These are my students. And now you are going to sign your name on something that I am going to write. And the Ari took the parchment and he opened it up and he took the pen and the ink and he started to write and he said, I, the king of Syria, will never make any bad laws against the Jews. I will not make them pay me the 10,000 silver coins. And I will not take any money from the Jews, even for taxes. And I will be only nice to the Jews for the rest of my life and then help them in every way that I can. And the Ari showed it to this man in the bed and he says, sign your name to this Gzeira that I'm making. Sign your name. And the man in the fancy pajamas, the king, signed his name. He was so afraid, he was shaking and he was crying. He signed his name, and the Ari took the parchment and he put it in his own pocket, and he took the pen, and he says, lower him back into the pit. And they lowered the bed back into the bottom of the pit. And they pulled back the rope, and now they went back to the shul to learn. Now, Kinalach, like I told you, the Ari took this parchment, he put it into a box, and he sent the shliach to the Rav's house in Syria, and he gave it to the Rav, and the Rav held on to it. Like the Ari had said, in case there's any trouble, the Rav should give this to the king. And of course, the Rav did not know what it was, only that it was something inside of a box that the Arizal gave him. A few days later, messengers of the king in their uniforms, officers and generals, came riding on their horses to the Jewish community, to the Jewish neighborhood, and they came to the shul. They got off their horses and they came inside and they said, the king is calling the rabbi of the Jews to come to the palace. The king is very angry. And the Rav knew, now is the time that he has to take the box that was sent with the Arizal Shliach, because now there's trouble. And the Rav went with some of his men, some of the Yidden, and they went to the palace with the messengers. And the king was sitting on his throne, and he was screaming, and he was angry. I gave you 24 hours to bring me the 10,000 silver coins. And I said that if you wouldn't come, I would kill every Jew. And you didn't come. I decided I'll give you an extra few days because I would be so nice. And I gave you an extra few days and still you didn't come. And now that's the end of my patience. Either you give me right now the money or I'm going to send my army to kill every Jew. And the Rav said nothing. Only he was holding on to the box. And the king said, "Oh, I see you brought me a box. So you do have the money for me, don't you? In that box must be the money. Give it to me. Open up that box and give me the money right now." And the Rav stepped forward to the king and he opened up the box. And instead of money, there was a parchment rolled up. As soon as the king saw that parchment rolled up, his face turned white like a sheet. And he started to shake and he started to sweat. What's that? What's that in the box? The Rav said, "I'm not really sure. I really don't know." You mean you bring me something that you don't know what it is? No, but I know that this is what I have to bring you. And maybe you'll know what it is. So why don't we have a look at it? And he unrolls the parchment. And the king reads the Gzeira of the Arizal that says that he will not collect the money from the Jews, and he better be nice for the Jews for the rest of his life. And the king sees his own name written on there, and the king's face is so white, and he starts to sweat and shake and cry. I thought it was a bad dream. I didn't know it was real. Okay, go home. I'll be nice to the Jews. I'll never do anything bad to the Jews. And the Rav went home and he told the Yidden what happened. And the Yidden made a big simcha and a big yantiv. They thanked Hashem that Hashem was so good to them. And that is the end of the story. Once there was a very poor family with Kindalach and a Tati and a Mommy, and they were so poor, all the kids didn't even have shoes. They had to share the shoes. One time Chaim went out with shoes, and another time Shmuley went out with shoes, the same shoes. They couldn't go out together, they only had one pair of shoes. They didn't have enough food. They were lucky to have a piece of bread and maybe an onion and maybe a little milk. And on Shabbos they were lucky to have a little piece of fish for each of the kindalach. And they were lucky to have maybe a piece of chicken once in a while. This is how poor they were. And the Tati tried to get jobs to work different things, but it was very, very hard. And sometimes there was no way to get a job. So what he did, he sat home and learned. Or he went to shul and he learned. And after he put the kinnalach to bed at night, he learned and learned Taida. And he davened to Hashem that Hashem should help, because they needed money for the family to buy things they needed, and to pay the rent, to buy food, to buy clothes, to buy shoes, cost money. They need parnasa. And one night, this Yid, Rabbi Yankel, was learning very late at night, and he decided that he wants to go out and get a breath of fresh air. He'll go out for a little walk for a few minutes, then he'll be able to come back and learn some more. And his head will be cleared out. And so he went outside in the street, in front of his house, just to look at the stars a little bit and to breathe some of the nice air. And kinnalach, in those days, in the old days, in the street was many times schmutz from horses, from cows, from animals, or mud, because the street was very muddy. It wasn't with cement like nowadays. And all of a sudden, in the moonlight, because the moonlight was shining very bright that night, Rabbi Yankel looked down and he saw something on the ground that was very shiny. "No, I wonder what that is." And he looked closer on the ground and he saw in the schmutz was a silver coin. And at first he said, ugh, in the schmutz, a silver coin in the schmutz. He didn't even want to bend down to pick it up. It was all dirty. On the other hand, it's a silver coin. He's going to leave it there? What should he do? Leave it there? It's worth a lot of money, such a thing. He decided he's going to pick it up. And he ran over to the water and he washed it off from the schmutz and he saw that it was a silver coin worth a lot of money. He felt two ways. He felt very good and he felt very bad. He felt very good that he found a lot of money and he's allowed to keep it. There's no way to know who it belongs to. And since it's in a street that also a lot of goyim go in, it's the kind of thing that you could find and you could keep for yourself. On the other hand, he wasn't used to taking things out of the schmutz. He felt very bad. And he thought to himself, if Hashem wants me to have money that I daven for, that I hope for Hashem, why does he give me in a schmutz pile the money? It doesn't feel right that I should take from the schmutz the money. And he put it on the table in front of him and he started to go on learning his Gemara. And as he was learning, the thought of finding that coin in the schmutz bothered him. And all of a sudden he decided, a very happy thought. He decided he's not going to take the money for himself or for his family. He's going to give the money for tzedakah. And for him, he is going to get money in a different way. He says, Hashem is a great Hashem. Hashem can do anything he wants. The same Hashem who could put money in the schmutz can put money somewhere else also that I would feel it's more b'derech kavod for me to take that money than to take it out of the schmutz. Because it was in the schmutz, and I feel the way I feel, it's a sign that that money is not for me. And he decided, and you know when you decide something in your heart, even if you don't say it, the Torah says you should do what you decided, of course if it's a good thing. Once you decide something, you should do it. Even if you didn't tell anybody, you decided in your heart. And you really decided you want to do it. Don't change your mind and say, no, I'm not going to do it. Don't do that. Do what you decided. First of all, Hashem will help you. And second of all, that's what the Torah says. You should not go back on a good decision. You should always do it. And so, Reb Yankel decided he'll give the money the next morning when he goes to shul for tzedakah for the poor people. And all of a sudden, Reb Yankel's wife woke up. And she wanted to see where her husband was. It was so late. And she came in and she saw him learning. But all of a sudden on the table, she sees a shiny silver coin. Hi, Yankel, look, money. Look how much money. Tomorrow we could buy shoes. We could buy clothes. We could buy food. We could buy things. Yankel says, I'm sorry, but it's not mine. But it's on the table right in front of you. Where did it come from? I found it outside. So it's yours, it's ours, so we could use it. No, I decided it's not for us. Well, what do you mean you decided it's not for us? We need money, we're poor also. Yeah, but it came in the wrong way. It didn't come in a nice way. If Hashem wants to give us money, it can come in a better way than that. I found it in the schmutz. And Reb Yankel's wife was a good lady. And she understood, even though it was very hard for her, that her husband did not want to accept this money. And the next morning, the Kinelech were hungry. But Reb Yankel took the money and gave it away to people that were even poorer than they were, to poor people that begged in the shul. And he gave away the money. And the next night, Kinelech, there was no food in the house. Not only there was only a few pieces of bread and a little piece of onion, there was nothing. And the children went to bed hungry. And Reb Yankel and his wife were hungry. And they mamish did not have what to eat. And she says to her husband, you gave away the money and now we have mamish nothing for ourselves. And Rabbi Yankel says, Hashem is going to help. Hashem does not leave his Eden with nothing. And she says, well, we have nothing. Rabbi Yankel says, look, Baruch Hashem, we're still alive. And Hashem can always help. You never know how Hashem can help. Just don't worry, and Hashem is going to help. And Rabbi Yankel went on learning in the night very late. He couldn't sleep because he was very hungry. And he wanted to learn for Hashem. And just that night, coming down the road was a wagon, a very fancy wagon with beautiful horses, and it was traveling very late at night. It was very cold that night. And the two men in the wagon were Yidden, and they were on their way to a faraway town. But since it was so late at night, they were very tired, and they were very hungry. And just as they passed in front of Yankel's house, they said, look, there's a candle burning. In this whole town over here, there's no lights on at all, and there's no hotel. It's a small town. But in this one house, there's a candle burning. And why was a candle burning? Because he was learning, right? He was learning Torah. And because he was learning Torah late at night, the candle was burning. And this is what brought the two Yidden in front of his house, because they saw he has a candle burning. They say, maybe we can stay in this house. And they saw a mezuzah, it's a Yiddish house. They said, we'll knock on the door, we'll ask permission to sleep overnight, and maybe the man in the house will let us sleep overnight. And we'll go on in the next morning on our trip. And they got out of the wagon, and they knocked on the door, and Rabbi Yankel heard the door knocking. He goes over to the door. He didn't know who was outside. Who's there? And outside he hears, it's two Yidden. We need a place to stay. We're willing to pay you. We just need a place to stay overnight and a place to eat. And Rabbi Yankel felt very bad. Here's two Yidden outside. He would like to do the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orachim, but what can he offer them? Does he have food to give them? Fine, but if they give him money and he has no food to give them, is the money going to buy anything? There's no food in the house. The stores are closed, there's nothing in the house. Rabbi Yankel felt very embarrassed. And he said, I'm sorry, but... And they said, look, we have our own food, and we have money, we'll pay you. Just please let us in, and all we need maybe is to make a fire. Rabbi Yankel says, okay. He let the two men in, he sees there's two from a Yidden. They were dressed in fancy suits and nice coats. They were rich men. They came from a big city somewhere. And they came in, they said, thank you very much. And Rabbi Yankel went over to his table, started to learn more. But first he put up a little fire for them, on wood on the stove. And the men started to take out their suitcases. And from the suitcases they took out food. Not only regular food, but all kinds of delicious foods, different kinds of fish and different kinds of breads and different kinds of cheeses and different kinds of vegetables. And they started putting it on the table. And they said to Rabbi Yankel, they said, look, we have plenty of food. Why don't you come and join us? And Yankel saw that they had so much food. And in those days, the Yidden had good kashrus, and he wasn't worried about the Heksherim, and these were obviously from a Yidden, so he could join them for the meal. And he says, well, okay, why not? Thank you very much. And they went over to the sink and started to wash. And they started to eat the delicious food. Now, if a person doesn't have enough, you're not allowed to go and share with him. But they had so much food, And they said, tomorrow we'll buy more food, no problem, so why not? As she was sleeping, the uncle's wife started to smell the delicious food. And she thought she was dreaming. She smelled fish, and she smelled different kinds of delicious things with onions and with vegetables. And she started to toss and turn. She thought it was a dream. But she woke up, and she still smelled it. Hey, this dream is so real. I still smell the smells, even though I'm awake. What's going on over here? And she heard voices out in her dining room, and she goes out, and she sees three men, her husband and two yidden, and they're eating all this delicious food. She says, what a dream I'm having. Everybody's eating my dreams, and I feel like I'm awake. It couldn't be. And the uncle says, you're not dreaming. Why don't you come and join us? Well, actually, he didn't say that. The two yidden said, oh, why don't you come and join us? Because we have plenty of food. And she washed, and she sat down, and they had such a delicious meal. It was so delicious. They hadn't had food like that in so long. It was like a dream. Well, there was plenty of food left over, and the men said, why don't you give it to your kids in the morning? Because we have plenty of food. We don't even need to schlep so much. And, okay, thank you very much. They gave them the hot water. They had tea. They had coffee by themselves. They shared it. And now, the two yidden got ready to go to sleep. And Reb Yankel decided after such a nice meal like that, he should go learn a little bit more Torah and not just go to sleep. And he started to go and learn. The two men were listening to Reb Yankel learning, and they saw that he's a very big Talmud Chacham. Not only that, he's learning certain dinim in Shulchan Aruch about money, about if two people say the money is theirs, and how they split the money, or if they don't share the money, each one gets the money, different things about money that's in Shulchan Aruch. And all of a sudden, they go to Yankel, they say, look, we want to tell you where we're going and what we're doing, and maybe you could help us. We both have a big store. We have a big business. And we're business partners. And we have a big question about a lot of money, and we don't know if it belongs to me or belongs to him, or we have to split it. There's a certain question we have in money in the business. We're still friends, but we really don't know about how to share this money, and we want to be fair about it. And there's a lot of money involved. So we're traveling to a Rav who lives in a city about 3 days away from here, and we decided we're going to ask this Rav our question, and whatever the Rav tells us to do, we're going to do. And the closest Rav that we know about that knows about these things is 3 days away. And it's very cold, and there's a long, long way to go. And we see that you're learning all about the different kinds of shailas about money. And we see you're a big Talmud Chacham. Would you listen to our shaila and maybe try to figure it out? Rabbi Yankel says, listen, you can ask me this shaila, and I'll try to figure out what the Torah would say about it. And if I know, I could help you. If I don't know, then you go to your Rav. Maybe I know, because I've learned this a lot, these dinim. And they explained the shaila to Rabbi Yankel. And Rabbi Yankel was just learning all about exactly this kind of a shaila. What the Gemara says about it, what the Shulchan Aruch says, what the Rambam says. And he explained all the different things with the shaila, and he told them how they're supposed to split up the money. And they were very, very happy. And they felt it was fair. And they said like this, we don't feel we have to go anymore 3 days away to a different Rav, because you explained us how to do the money. And we're very happy because you helped us and you saved us a lot of time, because you also saved us 6 days of business, because we have to travel 3 days there and 3 days back. So what we would like to do is give you a certain chelik, a certain portion of the money, because this is the minhag. If a person is able to help with the money question, you give him a part of that money. And they took out a big bag of silver coins, and they gave it to Reb Yankel. And Reb Yankel didn't want to take it, but they said, look, you're doing us a favor. We'd anyway have to pay this to the Rav. This is the minig to do. And you helped us with our question, and you also saved us 6 days of business, so we'll be able to make more money. And this is not a lot of money for us. Take it. Why don't you use it? And he looked into the bag, and in that bag were a few hundred silver coins like the ones that he found outside in the schmutz. And this time it wasn't only one, it was a few hundred. And so Kindelach, Yankel explained to his wife. And he told the kids the next day, this is a lesson in how you believe in Hashem and how you trust Hashem. He says, if I would have taken that silver coin from the schmutz, the first one that I found, I would have felt that it's not the way I have to get something. It's not the way that Hashem really has to give me. And if I would have only taken that, that's all I would have had. And the next night, I probably would not have been up so late learning. I would have probably eaten a good meal and gone to sleep. The next night, though, after I did not take it, and I gave it away for tzedakah, I was very hungry, and I wanted to be close to Hashem. And it says that a person that learns Torah is very close to Hashem. And I wanted Hashem to be close to me and help us. So I was learning extra Torah, extra late. And this is what brought the men to our house. They saw the candle burning. What if the candle would have not been burning so late? Would they have come to our house? No. The whole thing would have never happened. Dafka, because I stayed up learning Torah, and I wanted to be close to Hashem. This candle and this light is what brought the men to our house, and they shared with us food that they had plenty of. It was their kavod. It was their pleasure. And then I went on learning Torah, and I happened to be learning Ashkaka Pratis, the same Inyanim, the same halachas that they were interested in. And they heard me learning, and it came out I did them a favor, because I was able to save them the travel time and all the tircha and even the money from their business. And in the end, we got so much more money than we would have had in the first place.